B-Pod Studios.
Put in what he called the goon or whatever.
Ingram, yeah.
Yeah, I understand that attitude. I just don't want to see it happen to my team. But real quick about Donovan McNabb, and I wish Trey was here to answer this question, but I'm wondering what you guys think. How do you think Donovan would survive playing today in social media with, you know, how he reacts to criticism? Because to me, he was one of my favorite players, but he never took criticism well. And with social media being the way it is, it's like you get that criticism right away from every fan. And I'm just wondering how you guys think. Well, I love you guys' show. You guys have a great day.
You too, Will. Appreciate it, man.
He couldn't do it.
Well, look, even before, quote unquote, social media had really taken off with the world of Twitter and all that stuff, let's not forget Wilma McNabb, Mama McNabb there, had a blog. And on the blog is where she wrote the line about Jeff Garcia.
That's right.
Jeff Garcia, yeah. I had a memory like an elephant. Wilma McNabb wrote on her blog, I don't know, MamaMcNabb.com, I don't know what it was.
Yeah.
But Wilma wrote on her blog, oh, God help my son if Jeff Garcia wins a Super Bowl.
Yikes.
It was something to that effect about Jeff Garcia and Donovan McNabb. What they'll do to my boy if Jeff Garcia wins a Super Bowl. And it was like, oh my God. So imagine if she had Twitter back in the day.
Oh.
And piping hot takes would have been flying off that TL.
Yeah, that would have been bad.
That would have been great for us. But I'm just saying.
He couldn't have handled it.
No.
I mean, I'm already getting ripped for saying Palo Alto is north of San Francisco. I can't imagine if I was throwing a ball at Kevin Curtis's ankles in the NFC Championship game fourth down.
Look,
I can't imagine what his time...
Don't you use Donovan McNabb's scapegoat to your lack of geographical knowledge?
I'm just saying, the hate is instant.
Yeah.
And it's fun hate that I'm getting.
Yeah.
But McNabb threw a lot of worm balls.
Oh, he did, Magellan.
Imagine.
You are correct.
Imagine what his ats are like after that.
Sir Francis Drake, you are correct. Let me just tell you that much.
I haven't said Sir Francis Drake since a report in sixth grade. How about that?
And I know he was a West Coast guy. 610-632-0975. I did not think that I would ever bring up Sir Francis Drake on a...
That's good work by you.
He's basically a pirate.
Very good work by you.
He's basically a pirate. Something like that. I think he defeated the Spanish Armada, if I remember correctly. That's enough of that. Anyway, you're listening to 97.5 Fanatic WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster, dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. And Jamie, real quick, let's get a Twitter poll update here. Brought to you by Window Nation. Because while we were on the subject of Donovan McNabb, we're going to transition to Sixers in 1 second here. But it was a big thing over the weekend that came out regarding Donovan saying that the Eagles should be looking elsewhere when it comes to a quarterback. If Carson Wentz can't get out of the second round of the playoffs in the next 2 years or so, they should look to draft another quarterback because you just don't know about Carson's durability. Anybody else says that, we're like, that's a fair point, I guess.
You've basically said that.
Yeah. But you're also not a guy that has ever looked like you're jealous of somebody else that has had your position.
No, I'm not the Eagles' best all-time franchise quarterback.
That is a correct statement by you. The best in terms of accumulating, greatest belongs to Nick Foles. But when it comes to best, Donovan McNabb leads in every major statistical category, 5 conference championship games that he played, he got the team to, played in 1 Super Bowl, all-time best starting quarterback record for the Eagles, passing yards, touchdowns, interception ratio with the minimum of 1,500 attempts,
Coward.
Wouldn't throw into double coverage, trying to protect the football. What's wrong with him? But all this stuff that you look at, and you're like, well, wow, we should really like this guy. But when he says stuff, it kind of either really makes people angry, or I think at this point, it makes people have an eye roll when it comes to Donovan
McNabb.
He's just
exhausting.
He is. That's a great word for him, exhausting. And a friend of mine texted me, and he says, yeah, notice what McNabb said. He defines success as getting out of the second round.
Yeah, because it's his own success.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
you know, that's where he is. Second round is what goes into his mind. Nothing like Super Bowl or anything like that.
That's a good point.
It is. It's a great point.
Yeah, that's a great point by your friend there. So, Jamie, go ahead. What's the update? The options are anger when you hear something from Donovan McNabb, or his comments about Carson Wentz, or eye roll. What do we have?
Well, most of the comments are, well, where's the third option of I agree?
Yeah, unimportant.
It's not there for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
2,500 votes. stayed the same pretty much throughout the course of the day. 84% say eye roll.
So the people that wake up at 6 a.m. and the people that are waking up at like 9:04, they are all together.
Yeah.
We are a united nation.
Yeah, look at that. And all it took was a little Donovan McNabb hate, and we're all united.
I don't wish any ill will on anybody. I really don't. But I remember even, 7-8 years ago, talking with people outside the market. And they would ask you about Donovan McNabb, and they'd say, why is there such a disconnect between the two? Between this fan base of Philadelphia and a guy who's the all-time best, Super Bowl era best quarterback the franchise has ever known. And you try to explain it to them, and they're like, yeah, but he won a lot of games.
Yeah.
It's like, you might come over to my house once, and you might really like my one uncle, right? But you do every holiday with him, you really know the guy. You know who he really is, right? You know about the guy with the annoying jokes. You know what the guy that goes far too long in a conversation after it ends. You know the guy that makes you, just rubs you the wrong way for whatever reason. He's not a terrible human being by any means.
Right,
but he's just a guy you're like, all right, enough. Like, I want to like you.
And you can also take the kid approach, go, he started it.
With us.
McNabb started it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you could go back to the draft and the booing, but all in all, this fan base would love him if he didn't say what he said,
mm-hmm.
if he didn't do what he did.
The whole keep my name out your mouth with T.O., that's really where I kind of jump ship with Donovan. It started with the whole I don't want to be a running quarterback type thing. And I'm like, well, why would you disregard one of your talents?
Yeah.
Do whatever you can to win.
Yeah.
Where's that answer? All right, whatever. I'm not going to let it bother me. And then the whole T.O. thing happened with keep my name out your mouth and not want to get involved in that contract negotiation when T.O. fought his ass off to get back in time for the Super Bowl, was your best player on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, not wanting to get him that deal where he ended up helping our guy, Brian Westbrook, out.
If he goes and gets T.O. that deal, is history entirely different with the way we view Donovan McNabb?
You know, as much as I want to believe that, T.O. went to a bunch of other places and blew up.
Yeah, he did. But if McNabb just went to Joe Banner and said, come on, man, just pay. You got a split locker room now. People know what he means to this team. Just give him a little bit extra of a bonus.
But he wouldn't do that, and mostly because, as we have heard since, vanity.
Yeah.
We have heard that he didn't like the T.O. chance happening in the stands,
yeah.
How he wasn't the guy that was the star of the show anymore.
Right.
It was T.O. So that divide is something that I was just like, I'm out.
But if he could have just swallowed his pride and realized he had a $110 million contract on his hands and none of that mattered and T.O. helped him, if he could have just put that aside, we'd probably view him a lot differently.
Would Joe Banner have even listened?
I think if the quarterback of your team comes and says, hey, man, we got a split locker room on our hands, just pay the man some more guaranteed money, I think he might listen.
You don't think so?
I think he would have. If I had to bet money saying he would or wouldn't,
it's not definitive either way. Yeah.
Exactly. I would say 55% yes.
Yeah, I might go 60,
okay.
but not much higher than that.
You are an optimist.
Mm.
You are an optimist. Hey, by the way, where's Palo Alto? Anyway, Bob, what do you think?
I do think that they would have listened to their quarterback. Look, you were at a time where it was somewhat frustrating, obviously, because you're getting to all these conference championships and you're not getting over the hump. And that was the one guy that seemed to get you over the hump. I think they would have listened.
I would certainly have hoped so, but we'll never know.
As
they say, we know one outcome, we'll never know another. Now, flipping it back to the 76ers, because they gave us a wild ride on Saturday.
I think that I'm an incredible human being.
An absolute wild ride. Coming up later in this hour, I'll let you hear the highlights again. But after the game, there was that melee between Joel Embiid and Jared Dudley, Ben Simmons, and Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's the guy that ends up taking the brunt of the punishment because he gets ejected, as does Jared Dudley. But if you missed it, in the third quarter, of course, you saw the melee and all that stuff. It broke out after Joel Embiid blocked the shot at Jared Allen. Then Jared Dudley took exception to the way he blocked the shot of Jared Allen, rushed Joel Embiid, and gave him a shove, to which Jimmy Butler jumped right into the fray and pushed Jared Dudley. And then you also had Ben Simmons jump into it, and he ended up getting shoved by another member of the Nets. They go out of bounds. They bowl over Our friend John Clark of NBC Sports Philadelphia, when the dust settled, Jared Dudley had been ejected, as did Jimmy Butler. Now, after the game at the press conference, Jimmy Butler and Joel Embiid are sitting up there, and Jimmy Butler says why he got involved and also why he was sitting up there with his big man, Joel Embiid.
He don't do nothing stupid when he up here. We all know he's a trolling son of a gun, so I'm just here to protect my big fella.
How do you plan on doing that?
If somebody run up on him, I'm going to push him again.
And I'm here to fall. Yeah. On my back.
I love the fact that he knows his guy already, that he knows he'll go up there and possibly laugh again at the Nets and then make them take another shot at him, maybe in game five, which could either draw another flagrant from Joel Embiid, which would be, what, a one-game suspension?
If he gets a flagrant two. He has
flagrant two.
2 points. Yeah.
All right, 2-point system here.
In the flagrancy.
And then, what would be worse, an injury.
Yeah. But, yeah, and I hear what you're saying, but, God, you can't have that in your mind if you're the Sixers. I mean, that can't even be a little bit like, oh my God, there's Jared Dudley. Is he going to cheap shot me? Is he going to do this? Is he going to do that? Nah, you're the aggressor.
I wouldn't mind,
you know, a drive to the basket if someone sees Dudley. Go out of your way a little bit to, you know, even if it costs you an offensive foul.
Right.
Hey, we're here.
Now, what was it? Game one, Joel gave the little shove to Jared Dudley.
Yeah, I wanted
to say it was like 3 or 4 minutes into the game. And it was a dumb play. The play had stopped. JoJo went up for a rebound. He had got, or went up for a layup. I think he got fouled and was going to go to the line. And Dudley was right there. And he shoved him. And he didn't, like, full arm extend, shove him to the ground. But he gave a little push
and
to Dudley.
And then flexed and yelled. Like, it was clear he was instigating.
Joel Embiid?
Oh, I'm sorry, Dudley.
I'm talking about game, I think it was game one.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And I was just
he always does that. He pushes off a lot.
Yeah, this is one that Jared
That's
Dudley.
Why the Marcus Smarts come after him. That's why the Dudleys come after
it's
him.
It's your old game, JoJo.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Sure. But when it actually happens, and it happens more than once, that's where I get a little concerned because I don't want him, A, getting that other flagrant or those two flagrant points, whatever. And then at the same time, I also don't want to get injured. And if you're the Sixers, I think, Bob, you do have to consider that. I think that's why Jimmy Butler jumped in there. Because Jimmy Butler's got flagrant points to give. Yeah. And he got involved.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you don't get involved if something happens. Absolutely you do. But I don't think you can go into a game thinking, oh man, I got to stay away from him or I hope he doesn't do anything. No, you that comes within the confines of the game. I don't think you can outwardly look for it.
Right.
Like Jared Dudley has to be looked at as a sucky player who starts on the other team. And anything else, well, now you're letting the game get out of your mind, and that's exactly what Jared Dudley wants.
Mm-hmm. But, Jamie, would you agree Jared Dudley is a sucky player?
Yeah, I would say he's below average.
That's the best description I ever heard Bob Cooney give
you
of
call
a player.
Him, what'd you call him?
A rat bastard.
Oh, and
fat
Jamie,
fat rat bastard
is what you had earlier.
Well, he is.
Okay.
He's obese by NBA standards.
And I'll tell you what, I don't think we hit on this. What Jamie said earlier, look at Joel Embiid's highlights last year against Boston.
Did you check him out?
We did. You're absolutely right.
It's clear as day.
His upper body looks a lot different.
He's at least 15 pounds overweight from where he was last playoffs.
You saw it, right, Mark?
Yes,
you looked
I did.
At some of it?
Very toned.
Yeah, I'd very muscular.
Yeah, he just looks he
taut.
Looks different.
Yeah.
And maybe he's still growing.
he's a little T-H-I-C-C. He's thick, as the kids say.
Well, and that brings us back to the Landry Shamet comments of the four cookies and cream milkshakes. Which is just bonkers to me. But look, there was a positive to draw out of all of this, okay? Other than the fact that they won, it's how they won. It's how they closed out the game with Jimmy Butler, who did a great thing, coming to the aid of a teammate, got ejected. The Nets win that decision by the referees. Somehow, magically, the referees didn't see. I don't even know if they knew about it. The referee's not calling the previous foul on Jared Dudley from the second quarter where he threw the elbow at Ben Simmons. You mean to tell me, Bob, they don't go into the half? They don't go into the locker room at halftime and look at the tape and go, oh, we missed that. Or somebody from the league office says, hey, by the way, just so you guys know, there was an elbow from Dudley on Simmons.
Yeah, and there's somebody in the stands also, and I know some of the people that do that they'll go in at halftime and they'll say, hey, look, you might have a situation, bro, and did you see that? And they'll say, yeah, I didn't think it warranted anything. I told them, you know, look, none of this after the play stuff. Whatever. I mean, it's definitely, it was noted at halftime.
Okay.
You're right.
So you would then assume that when the melee breaks out in the third quarter, the refs would keep that in mind when making their decision, no?
So, Yeah, you. But you can't because you.
Why
didn't,
not?
Well, but you, because you didn't legally do something. I mean, the legalities of it all is you didn't call a foul on Dudley in the first game. You didn't physically give him a warning or anything
but
like that.
But you know,
so,
ill intent could exist.
I hear you. Does your human nature come into play and say this guy's been looking for it? Sure, it does. But on the referee side, you can't. You didn't officially do anything, so now you can't do something more just because you didn't before.
When do we get the benefit of protecting the stars in the NBA? When do we get that benefit?
I hear you on that, and I don't think it's a good look for the. You think the NBA didn't want Jimmy Butler in there for the fourth quarter?
I think they absolutely wanted Jimmy Butler.
I think the Sixers are the darling team of the Eastern Conference for a national audience. I'm sure that the NBA wanted Jimmy Butler in there. They could care less about ugly face Jared Dudley.
What do they want? Kyrie Irving? What do they want? Kawhi Leonard?
Right.
Chuckles McGee, Kawhi Leonard? What do you want?
Chuckles is hot right now, though.
Chuckles is pretty hot. He is pretty, still pretty fine. But what I'm saying is, would they rather have a team that has personalities like Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid and those guys and Jimmy Butler? Or do they want the chuckle hut that is Kawhi Leonard?
I think the Sixers are the darling team of the East. Yeah. And just real quick, if the Sixers and Toronto win tomorrow night, it looks like they might start on Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Saturday? Yeah, wow. Saturday or Sunday would be the earliest they could start.
A little Saturday afternoon game.
Now, we talk about going special. We talk about going into the locker room. Wait, Saturday afternoon? I'll be at the yurt.
Yeah, you'll be fishing.
Boy. Better get your My Teams app. Make sure you get good service.
I don't know if they have that in Syria, Virginia. But nonetheless, so you talk about guys going to the locker room to let the refs know what's what. So at the end of the game, Sean Marks, the GM for the Nets, as most people know by now, goes into the referee's locker room, which apparently is the holier-than-thou room of all rooms throughout the NBA, and bitches and moans about a foul supposedly on Tobias Harris or Ben Simmons at the end of the game on Jared Allen that would have at least, I think, what, put the Nets to the line to shoot two to try at least tie the game?
Yeah, tie the game, yeah.
No call is made on the play. You have Sean Marks going in there to argue that with the referees. He gets fined and suspended. I don't know how you do that. The GM has to watch the game from home, I guess. And there you go. So that's a huge issue. But here's the other part. The good part that came out of the end of this game was Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid being able to close it out without Jimmy Butler being in that game. So he was ejected in the third quarter, early in the third quarter. And then you have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid trying to step up. Here's Brett Brown after the game. Talking about Ben Simmons and JoJo stepping into that closer's role without Jimmy Butler being able to participate due to the ejection.
I saw a partnership. You especially saw it when we posted Joe, Ben finding open space as his men left behind Joel's post-up. And then defensively, you could see him talking about what we are doing in pick and rolls. And I agree with you. I think that there was a deeper connection after Jimmy was ejected. And, offensively and defensively, you could see what might make you or me say that.
I'm hoping that this is the norm that takes place with both Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
Taking over?
Either taking over or not needing something to egg them on to take over.
Yeah.
And we talked about it after game one. Game two, we saw a different Ben Simmons. Oh, it was the booze. The booze really helped Ben Simmons get motivated. It really helped the whole team get motivated. And then we saw it with Jared Dudley trying to get in people's heads. And then we saw it again here in game three, after game four now, of these two teams going at it a little bit. Jimmy Butler goes out, and you see Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid really start to kind of ramp up the way they were playing in this game. I hope it becomes the norm for Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I hope
that this is our new norm.
I'm hoping that's the case, but I'm just excited to watch it kind of mature in front of our eyes,
happening without being prodded.
I look forward to the moment where they can do it without being prodded.
Right, right.
But as of right now, I'm enjoying the maturation process to get to that point. I'm just hoping that what we see in the fourth quarter and towards the end of the third quarter is going to become the norm for those two. That's just the way they play, regardless of situation, right?
Yeah.
Because if Jimmy Butler doesn't get re-signed, you're going to need one of these guys to step up and play.
Oh, yeah.
You need one of these guys to step up and be the closer. I'm hoping that's the case, that those guys will all of a sudden one day get to that point of not needing that poke. Like, Jamie, you were talking about earlier, don't poke the bear.
Yeah.
That's what the Nets were doing. That's what Jared Dudley was doing. I'm hoping Ben Simmons gets that. And you know what? I am so confident that he will, because seeing him take these steps forward and take things on his own shoulders throughout this series lets me know that that is there. That killer mentality that you're worried about with some other athletes, I think it's there for Ben Simmons. You just doubt him a little bit. He'll come get you.
Oh, no question. Sometimes that has to be self-motivated. You know, you can't, as you say, Mark, you can't always rely on somebody throwing a cheap elbow, somebody saying that your game's weak, somebody saying you're average in the half court, whatever it may be. There has to be some self-motivation there. That's what all the great players have. And he'll learn it. He's learning what kind of a takeover player he can be after somebody says he's average. So he'll learn how to do it without needing that kind of little push from somebody else.
So let's go right to the horse's mouth. Ben Simmons himself, as to how the team responded after the Jimmy Butler rejection.
There was a point in the game where, you know, two guys got thrown out, and we knew we had to step up a little bit more and kind of take over. And Joel did a great job of getting down low and sealing, making plays. JJ also, Mike with the shot. Tobias, I think everybody just did their job. James, everybody came in and did something to contribute.
But everybody did. And you saw Mike Scott, you saw JJ Redick, Tobias. Everyone really did step up, but the whole push was led by Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
And there was no better play. I think it drew the Sixers to within two, or maybe it even tied it. Ben Simmons dribbles down to the block in transition, gains control, stops momentum. Two guys collapse on him, including Jarrett Allen, who vacated Joel Embiid. Then there's a little drop pass, a little shovel pass, if you will, to Joel Embiid coming down for the slam. And it was a perfect example of both those guys helping each other out. Then it was Ben Simmons setting up J.J. Redick for the three, and then it was Joel Embiid being able to get just enough of his hand on the ball to hit Mike Scott in the corner for that three to put the Sixers in front for good.
Yeah, and the defensive play at the end, don't forget. When Allen goes to the lane, it's part Embiid collapsing. Tobias Harris is there, and Ben Simmons is there, and Ben Simmons is the one that stripped the ball. You know, everything that happened in that game, there was just so many different part of it that builds your confidence. It wasn't just feeding the ball to Embiid down low and watching him do what he does. It's exactly the plays that you said. I mean, the play that Ben Simmons made where he missed a layup, gets his own rebound. I'm telling you, 99% of the time that I've seen guys play in no matter what league it is, when they grab their own rebound, their first reaction is to go back up. You're righting a wrong in that case. You missed a layup, I got it back. Now I got to make the layup. He didn't. He turned, boom, hits J.J. Redick wide open three, where he almost slipped and fell, but a wide open three nonetheless. Boom, he bangs it. Sixers take a lead. They'll never lose.
And luckily they won, because you know what we're talking about today if he doesn't?
About Brett Brown?
No.
Oh, what were we talking about?
The lazy passes by Joel Embiid under a minute 30 left, up one each time, that led to turnovers.
Yeah. Well,
because those were inexcusable. I don't care that we won or not. That can't happen. Joel Embiid's, I feel like his turnover propensity grows exponentially late in the fourth quarter.
It certainly seems like it. And what do you have, five turnovers in this game in total?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He almost had like a...
Those two were just bad passes.
What do you call that?
Quadruple-double? With the blocks and turnovers?
Bob Devon and I, Saturday on the pregame show, were talking about how passing is somewhat difficult for this team. Like, they move the ball well, but feeding, like, the post, and when Embiid's trying to pass out sometimes, it's bad. Like, they struggle with passing down low on the block and interior-wise, and Embiid tried to force two, and it was atrocious, frankly.
Not for nothing, but I caught some of that pregame show. And there's a guy who works for NBC Sports Philadelphia, Jim Ruling, great guy. He's like an assignment editor for us, right? Assignment, he's like our desk guy, right?
No joke.
He mans the desk, right? He was just like, gotta tell you, Mark, the go between with Bob Cooney and Jamie Lynch, pretty great.
Thanks.
And I go, well, did you hear the pregame, whatever? And he goes, no. And I said, well, Jamie had an issue with Landry Shamet's comments about Joel Embiid housing four milkshakes, cookies and cream milkshakes. I don't even have the attention. Like, I have the appetite, but I don't have the attention span, because I'd be so exhausted from, like, unclogging the straw each time.
Milkshakes are exhausting.
And then Bob's like, yeah, it's really bothering you, isn't it, Jamie?
It is.
Like, Bob knows just enough how to put that quarter in to, like, get you going again. It really is like a big brother, little brother thing, where it's just like, I just poke this guy just one more time.
Yeah, the four milkshake thing, I got up my giggy a little bit.
Come on, man.
It certainly did.
Because, look, he's in the honeymoon phase for a long time. Eventually, that's going to wear off.
Yeah.
And that comes with no titles and maybe more unhealthiness.
Okay.
So, all you know, maybe just stop shooting around in slippers and stop chugging milkshakes.
I'll tell you what, the slippers goes up my, whatever you want to call it, more than the milkshakes go up yours.
Yeah.
It has been.
I don't think anybody wants that milkshake.
What happened?
When we used to be waiting around at practices and he would come out and you're like, don't do it. But he can't help himself. He'll have on flip-flops, slippers, whatever it may be, and there's a ball bouncing. You know he's going to go over and grab it, start shooting, mess it around. Stop. You shouldn't be on the floor with slippers or sandals or whatever you want. That's ridiculous.
100% with you.
Ridiculous.
They were Jamie. Ugg slides slippers.
Ugg slides.
That is.
I was going to get you that for Christmas.
They're incredibly comfortable.
Yeah.
That is pretty ridiculous. You know, it's not ridiculous. The Fanatic deal of the week, because for a limited time only, enjoy a round of golf at 6 of Pennsylvania's premier golf courses for just $69. Treat yourself or treat dad for his big day. Check out now the Fanatic, 975thefanatic.com. Keyword deal. Hurry before they sell out. You guys had a Ron Jaworski golf passport not too long ago, didn't you?
We did last week. Yeah.
There you go.
Uh-huh. I'd like to play today or tomorrow, Bob, but Bob's letting me down.
Bob throwing clubs and whatnot.
And you work too much, so you can't even play.
There's a possibility.
Bob letting you down.
I can't remember. I might have off one of these days.
If you're off tomorrow, let's golf.
Probably not tomorrow. I'm going to go ahead and say it's definitely not tomorrow, as a matter of fact. 610-632-0975. When we come back, we'll let you hear all the highlights as called by the great Tom McGinnis right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Tom making all the great calls for Sixers, Nets, and the 76ers victory on Saturday afternoon. Time of the Fanatic is 9:25, but you know what else? Tom McGinnis does a phenomenal job. You know what else does a phenomenal job? Natural Lawn of America, because everyone loves a nice green lawn, but you don't want to sacrifice the safety of your loved ones and your pets, your neighbor's pets, your neighbor's kids, your kids. You want them running around on a lawn that's as safe as it can be without those chemicals that can get you, obviously. So this season, call Natural Lawn of America, because they use safer organic-based lawn care products that reduce the amount of chemicals used on your lawn. And with Natural Lawn, you don't have to sacrifice beauty for safety, because they actually do keep your grass greener and keep those weeds away. For over 25 years, Natural Lawn has been recognized as the leader in organic-based lawn care. Whether you live in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, Natural Lawn's customized treatments will give you the lush green lawn that you've always wanted. And for a limited time only, Natural Lawn is offering $100 off their full-service program. That's right, $100 off. So if you want a greener lawn with fewer weeds, call Natural Lawn today and tell them Mark Farzetta sent you. Call 855-LAWN-CARE. That's 855-LAWN-CARE and get $100 off right now. Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds. Guaranteed.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, we have some breaking news here. Thanks to our friend Victoria, who always tweets us during the show. We always appreciate her listening and being an active participant in the show. Victoria tweets us the TMZ video of Joel Embiid getting into a van. Apparently, this is after the Sixers Game 4 victory. And the reporter from TMZ is yelling at Joel Embiid, "Jojo, Jojo, is it over? Is it over?" And it's like, "Hey, Jared Dudley is trying to get in your head, whatever." And then he says, "Is it over?" And Joel Embiid, he doesn't say it, but he makes the hand across the hand across the neck.
Yeah,
is that what he did? Or he
no, not
like
the
this?
Neck. It was like almost like a safe sign, like the ump, like it's over.
Oh, it's over.
It's done. He crosses his hands.
Posh.
Now that's the lead story. Oh, of this video.
Yeah, a little further review.
There's a sidebar?
As we broke it down.
There's two. Well, I mean, Bob, I know.
There is Anna DePaula in the video.
All right, there we go. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
See,
so that Bob, was a big part of it.
Bob, leave the journalism to us, please. Thank you very much. So he's going and getting into the van, and he is walking out of Shake Shack, which is just what we talked about.
I broke down his carrying cup.
There's three beverages.
Yes.
All right. Now, I'm
two large, one small.
You imagine the smallest for her.
I would think so.
He stops. He takes a selfie with a fan. The guy asks him about whether or not the series is over, and he just kind of like pushes his hands aside, and he's just like, "It's over." Like, he doesn't say it, but he mouths it.
Yeah.
It's over. And then the door closes as Anna DePaula is getting in. And she looks lovely.
Lovely
she's
lady.
She's a very lovely lady. And no big deal. But she gets into the van with them. They close the door. And then I assume they enjoyed the Shake Shack. And probably each other's company.
How many burgers, though? 610-632.
It was one bag. It wasn't multiple bags.
No, I thought he had one in each hand.
He had a carrying case in one hand, I thought.
Yeah, he had a carrying case
okay,
in one
hand. Okay, my fault.
Case. He had a beverage carrier.
Yeah, with probably two milkshakes.
Probably two milkshakes.
Shake Shack milkshakes are pretty
delicious. They're delicious.
Yeah.
What do you think Anna DePaula had?
Like she just probably had like a small like sparkling water.
And a packet of ketchup. There's her meal for the week. There's her ration. There you go. Good for her. But that's what we broke down right there. So Joel Embiid even further. The people saying it's over. It's done. They're going to wrap it up. Come tomorrow night. South Philadelphia.
And he's right.
Yeah, they are. He is right. They're not winning here.
It's over.
They're not winning here again.
They broke their spirits last Thursday, let alone Saturday.
They cut their heart out.
Yeah, Saturday
happened.
They ripped the spine, the exoskeletal system out of their bodies and just left their corpses laying there on Barclays Center Court.
We got like, we're like running rampant with like sixth grade knowledge. It's like, I got Sir Francis Drake. You got exoskeleton. We're doing fine over
here. They're
Bob,
dead.
Bob. I got nothing.
Oh, Bob.
Bottom line, they're dead.
They died. Horrible death. And how did it happen? Because as you said, Jamie, they took the exoskeleton out of the Brooklyn Nets.
Finish him.
And here you have it. Here are the highlights of the game from the great Tom McGinnis right here on 97.5. The Fanatic of the 76ers taking it to the Brooklyn Nets here in Game 4.
Here's Embiid on the left of the lane. One-on-one with Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. They start the double into the corner. Jimmy Butler, three ball. Bang, it's good. Good fight. Nice play by Joel. Simmons with the ball. Ben on the attack. Into the lane on Hollis-Jefferson. Spins in the rim. Lays it up and in. Ben Simmons shoots and scores. And the Sixers have tied it at 38. Here's Tobias into the lane. Back out to the near side. Scott for three. Got it. Mike Scott on target. Nice feed by Harris, and it's a one-point game. Simmons on a drive. Simmons goes right at Jared Allen and gets a layup. And oh man, Dudley knocking at Ben Simmons, and he throws the ball away. And now Embiid chirping at Dudley. Oh man, somebody's a villain in this scenario. Simmons with the ball to Tobias, and now Embiid going right at Jared Allen. Puts it up, rimming good. Embiid is fired up into the lane. LeVert blocked by Embiid with a foul, and down goes Jared Allen. Oh man, here comes Dudley, and Jimmy Butler shoves Jared Dudley. It's Dudley being knocked out of bounds by Simmons. We got a scrum here in Brooklyn. Joel Embiid and Jared Dudley join to one another. Jared Dudley, though, stirring the pot here in the Borough. And Embiid with a jam. Hollis Jefferson tried to front him. Ben Simmons throws it over the top, and nobody there. Run that play again. Embiid with his twisty, turning move is good. 8 straight by Embiid. The Sixers have retaken the lead. Ben Simmons going right at Jared Allen. Shoots in the lane with the right hand. Too hard. No good. Got his own rebound. Out to Redick for the lead. It's good. J.J. Redick hit a three, and the Sixers have taken the lead. Tobias Harris. Harris pulls up, lobs it into Joel. Embiid dropped it to the corner. Mike Scott for the lead. It's up and good. Mike Scott raised in a corner three, and the Sixers go up by two. D'Angelo Russell outside right. Left hand dribbles to the line. He goes into the lane to Jared Allen. He dropped it, and now Jared Allen is swarmed, and the Sixers. Ben Simmons steals the ball. 5 seconds to go. Brooklyn turns it over. Ben Simmons rips it away. Dinwiddie from midcourt now steps in with a three, and it's no good. And the Sixers have come from behind to win game four. They win by four, 112-108.
The team coming together. Close out that fourth quarter.
You know, for all the bitching that the Nets are doing, too, they conveniently forget, and the referees admitted this also in the last 2 minutes, that they missed a carry by Dinwiddie. Sixers are up.
I tweeted out the two-minute report, actually.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah.
Sixers are up 104-103. Okay, they come down. Sixers get the ball back, and Embiid throws one of his bad passes. Brooklyn has the ball. Dinwiddie is dribbling like through the lane, comes out the other side, is in front of the bench. I mentioned this at 5 o'clock hour. Literally puts his hand under the ball like he's going to throw it to somebody, takes a couple steps, and then starts dribbling again. I was like watching. I'm like, whoa, what the hell is that? And a couple of the fans said something, but nothing happened. The possession goes on, and D'Angelo Russell makes a three to put them up 106-104 with like a minute and a half to go. It was a huge play. Huge non-call. Don't hear the Nets bitching about that at all, do you?
Oh, absolutely not.
That's what Sean Marks ran into the referee's locker room
about.
Yeah,
he wanted to call the Dinwiddie.
Yeah, he said, you got to hold my guys responsible when they commit something.
I want accountability in my locker room.
And by
room.
The way, I'm not having the best of Mondays.
Why? What happened?
Exoskeleton. They're not crustaceans. An exoskeleton is on the outside of your body. My wife is now mocking me over text. She said, use your prefix.
No. Do Addie's perfect impression that you do. Come on.
Do your prefixes.
I think exoskeleton is like a crab. X meaning outside. Use your prefix knowledge. Sheesh.
Sheesh? She went sheesh?
Wow.
She sheeshed me.
Wow.
And then she said, it's got to be annoying having a teacher as a wife. Because she rails on me
this
all the
is
time.
What you do. You say, not for nothing, toots. Here you go. And then see you the sheesh. You
so
get
Palo Alto is basically in Canada, and exoskeleton is the skeleton. Is your skeletal system.
Palo Alto, Oregon. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's right next to Bend.
Palo Alto. All the way up there.
Have a stellar Monday, folks.
San Francisco. I thought the whole time the bay was the ocean.
Yeah. See what happens when I don't watch Game of Thrones? The whole day's off.
Yeah, you're screwed up, bro.
Yeah.
You're screwed up.
I've made it so far with no spoilers. So
my wife says to me last night, because my in-laws are over, you know, there's a holiday and all that stuff. Mm. And my in-laws are over. And she goes,
how's that going? Good?
Great people. Yeah. Lovely people.
Good.
Lovely people.
You're a big man when you can have your in-laws in and not even complain.
Lovely
much.
People. Yeah. Lovely people. And I was going to complain, Bob. It's funny you mentioned that. It's funny because we're watching Game of Thrones. We're going to watch Game of Thrones. And my wife says, we can't watch Game of Thrones. I said, you and your jokes. You, this lady with her jokes, why I married you. And she goes, well, no, my parents want to watch Game of Thrones, so we can't watch like an episode of the last season. And I was like, well, then you hang out with your parents.
Yeah.
And I'll be in the bedroom watching Game of Thrones on the old TV over there. And she goes, well, you can't do that. I go, well, then you got to make up your mind. One of them, I'm watching Game of Thrones. I don't know what you're doing tonight, but I'm watching Game of Thrones. All right. I got to be in the know. What if somebody calls today and say, brings it up?
I'd have to run out.
It was show prep.
I am. I work hard. What can I say?
I just got the I hate you text. So going well.
610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we'll give you our takeaways of the day, and including what was the a feel good story, if you will. From the weekend. It's one of the few things
from
we
your
can
house?
Take. No, no. God. Oh. Oh, God, no. from the Phillies, man.
Oh, okay.
They won a game, but in that feel-good story of a win, there was a feeler-gooder story.
A feeler-gooder story.
Yeah. Addie, comment on that one.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Time is the Fanatics, 941. Covered a lot of Donovan today, as you would assume. A lot of 76ers, all that fun stuff. But there was one overall feel-good story, other than the 76ers winning their game against the Nets with all the drama that happened throughout the game, whatever. But there was one good feel-good story. Phillies only win one game in the four-game series out in Colorado.
Yeah, those Rockies owned them out there.
That's pretty much how it played out, unfortunately. But Friday, come up short. Zach Eflin got the start. Real Muto homered, though, in what, a 6-2, I believe, Rockies victory. But then Friday, Phillies get beaten out in the 12-inning game against the Rockies, 4-3. Vince Velasquez got the start. Looked okay. Looked pretty good, actually, in 5 2/3. 8 strikeouts. 2 runs earned in that game there. Nicasio gave up the walk-off home run to Blackman in that game. But Saturday, the 8-5 Phillies win, their only win. Couple of good things. Aaron Nola looked good, settled in that whole thing, 9 strikeouts. Gave up 9 hits, but only walked one in that game. Phil Gosselin was the guy that played hero almost in that game. Stepped up to the plate with the bases loaded, 4-3. He made the score with a bases-clearing double in the fourth inning of that game. Gave the Phillies the lead. Bryce Harper also hit a 3-run home run in the seventh inning. Rhys Hoskins, 3-for-5. That's great. But Phil Gosselin was the guy that stepped up and really gave the Phillies the lead. And it's a feel-good story because he's a local guy.
Yeah, he is.
And in the post-game interview with Greg Murphy, he drops a high hopes. Phillies were down that game 3-1. He steps to the plate. He's like, oh, you know, we got high hopes here, so I wanted to come up and do something. And he did something. He scored three runs on that play right there. Drove in three, I should say. Then after the game, they catch up with Phil Gosselin. And they say to him, hey, came up with the bases loaded. You know, you're kind of new around here to Philly, the Phillies, I should say. And he goes, well, yeah, you know, I've been up to the bases loaded a lot, though, in my life. But it was when I was a kid in the backyard.
That's
as
awesome.
A Philly. Because, of course, he grew up a Phillies fan.
That's awesome.
Drops a Harry Callis high hopes and drops, you know, that he in the backyard when he was growing up. He had come to the bases a lot. Come to the plate with the bases loaded a lot as a Philly.
That makes the hair on your arm stand up a little bit.
And then you know what? How about Captain Positivity himself, Gabe Kapler, talking about Phil Gosselin coming through in the clutch as the local product.
Good organizations, teams that win, have guys like Gosselin come up and perform in big moments. Right? You can't win a lot of games. You can't go to the postseason unless you have guys from the minor leagues come up and perform. You're kind of your non-roster guy that gets a big hit for you. And he's been swinging back really well. I mean, he's earned the right to keep rolling. I can only imagine what it's like to grow up in the Philadelphia area, a diehard Phillies fan, and then to come through like he did. He must be on top of the world right now.
Making things happen. It makes you feel good. Makes you feel real good to see a guy doing that. And then with guys blowing tires left and right here with hamstrings bursting.
What the hell is going on with hamstrings and pro athletes?
And McCutchen turned out to be a knee issue? I thought it was a hamstring.
Yeah, he tweaked his left knee.
Oh, sure. Whew. 400 plus on base percentage leadoff hitter. Like to keep that in the lineup.
If you could pick one of the four teams to come up to the professional level for one cup of coffee and do something with, who would it be? Like, you could step into an Eagles game and, you know, have 100 yards as a running back. Or you could be Gosselin and get a huge hit in a tight spot. Or score a game-winning goal for the Flyers. Or, you know, hit a big three like Mike Scott did.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'd have to go with one in my head.
Because I think Phillies is still it for me.
Really?
Even though they're not my number one.
Yeah.
Like, they're my number one from youth.
Playoff overtime hockey goal.
Ooh. That's pretty big.
That's a good one.
I would have to say I get the handoff as an Eagles running back. And
game-winning touchdown?
And I just run over everybody. Like, all 11 guys. No help from anyone. And I score the touchdown and then retire a champion. That would probably be my main thing.
That'd be pretty good.
But, baseball is my number one. What would be most important for all the Philadelphia would be a football touchdown.
Yeah.
Like a baseball touchdown.
That would be a touchdown of football. God, that's got to be cool to be Gosselin.
Absolutely.
That's got to be so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly. You feel great about it. What we don't feel great about, unfortunately, is our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. Jamie, let's put a bow on that one. What's it looking like? We asked people the question based on Donovan McNabb and how people react. Donovan McNabb's comments regarding Carson Wentz over the weekend, saying that the Eagles should look elsewhere if Carson can't get them out of the second round of the playoffs within the next 2 years, they should look to draft another QB because they don't know about his durability. Well, we asked people on Twitter for our Twitter poll brought to you by Window Nation. What do you think of those comments? Does it make you angry or is it met with an eye roll? What's the reaction?
Nearly 3,000 votes, and it's oddly stayed consistent all day long. 84% of the people say eye roll.
All right. Well, we'll hear from Trey Thomas later in the week, and we'll get his thoughts on that. But he's been off. He'll be back on Friday. Sam Wilson won't be back till Monday, unfortunately, for us.
Must be
but
nice.
Good for Sam.
Is that right? She's not back till Monday?
She took 10 days.
Yeah.
These people with their days off.
I know, right?
Never see little Pat Egan taking a day off, do you?
No, the man's got a kid. He got a baby mouth to feed.
Yeah.
Baby mouth to feed. Let's get our takeaways of the day in here. Jamie Lynch, what is your takeaway today?
My takeaway of the day is this series is over. I can't wait till Saturday night when they play the Raptors.
Let's get that going out of the gate. Pat Egan, you have a takeaway of the day?
I do. My takeaway of the day is if you're going to skip an episode of Game of Thrones, make sure it's not one where Danny and John both die horrific deaths.
I see what you did there. That didn't happen.
That's a good point there, Pat Egan.
Maybe it didn't happen.
Maybe,
we don't know.
Maybe it did. Maybe,
tell me it's during a sex scene that they die.
It's hot. It is hot. Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day.
My takeaway of the day is, not for nothing, but what the hell is Joel Embiid doing? Drinking 4 milkshakes in front of his coaches, his trainers, his strength and conditioning coaches, on an airplane. Don't get it a little bit.
I heard you say that, by the way, on the pregame show. I can't believe you brought that onto a plane as if it was like TSA unapproved.
It should be coach and physical coaches.
Strength and conditioning coaches say no.
I
can't believe he just ate it in front of his girlfriend.
I just saw Pat Egan hug Andrew Salchunas.
That's nice.
That was uncomfortable.
That we all get along here. My takeaway of the day is that I am on page with all the fans out there that are just meeting everything with Donovan with an epic eye roll. And I wasn't sure it would go that way. I thought it'd be more down the middle. Eye rolls for Donovan all around. Another takeaway of the day would be that the Sixers are going to win tomorrow night. We're going to have fun with that one. Stay tuned for Gargano Martinez Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.